This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfectly clear when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Welcome to I Said No Gifts. I'm Bridger Weiniger. You're here. I'm here. We're in the backyard. I've had a full morning. I went to the coffee shop. They gave me a sample of a lemon bar. Mystery flavor. I guessed the flavor wrong. I went to Target. Some children laughed at me, and here we are. I'm very, very excited about today's guest, so let's just get into it. It's Liz Stokes from The Beths. Liz, welcome to I Said No Gifts.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been doing shows basically nonstop since Thursday.
Tonight will be our seventh in a row.
Yeah. What were the three prior to Thursday?
We played three shows at the Greek Theatre up in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
This is supporting Death Cab for Cutie in the Postal Service.
Right. And one of these, was it Friday that you were doing that show at the Hollywood Bowl?
Yes, yeah.
Was that your first time playing there?
Yeah.
what was that experience?
It's wild. Like I had been to one show there, and back in 2019, I saw Death Cab there.
Oh, perfect.
So it was wild. Like it's such an amazing structure, and I don't know. It's I think one of the fun things about being a musician is being able to go like into the back rooms of all these like kind of crazy places.
And, yeah, what's going on in the back rooms of the Hollywood Bowl?
Like it's pretty classic like backroom venue. Like there's just dressing rooms. It's just kind of a big car park out there, I guess, because it's mainly like, you know, it's an outdoor bowl.
Right. Right.
So watching the pack out is always very exciting at these venues of all the lights and production and stuff, mm-hmm. and how it's like this ballet of all the lighting people and everything, getting everything off stage and rolling it into these trucks, you know, and they do it all in like an hour. And
yeah, it's like a circus. That's crazy. As an opening band, is it scary? I feel like that would be horrifying.
It's always scary going in because like being an opening band on like a big tour is like you are the bottom of the hierarchy. Like you are, I think I always go in, and this is probably also just my own like anxieties talking. It's like, yeah, I feel like you go in and you're like, cool, I have low expectations. We're going to make ourselves kind of like small, try and have a really good time, you know, and like try and have some nice chats with people and stuff. But we've been lucky in the support tours that we've done where both the crew who you interact with the most and the bands have been super lovely.
No one's been horrible to you.
No, they've like treated us like people and like peers, actually, which is like very, very generous.
Have you had past experiences where you were not treated like a human?
I think so. Like it's because we've done a lot of support tours in New Zealand, because when bands come to New Zealand, like big bands, they don't usually bring someone mm-hmm. with them because it's so far away. So
right.
We've like managed to kind of snag some good ones. But generally the bands that we've played with are pretty nice, or like the alternative is that you just don't interact with them at all. So
interesting. It's just so cold.
Yeah. Well,
please explain to me how long it takes to get from New Zealand to the United States. This is the one big thing for me that's keeping me back.
Yeah, if you don't like flying, there's not really another way. It's to fly, say, from Auckland to the West Coast, it's like 12 or 13 hours if you go direct.
Okay.
If you don't go direct, I don't know, sometimes you'll fly via like Hawaii or like Australia or something.
Right.
But if you, on this run, this is our last show in LA, and then we're going to fly over to New York to do four shows over there. And then we will fly home on this like kind of quite new flight that Air New Zealand's got, which is New York to Auckland, which is I think about 17 hours and 40 minutes or something like that. Just like one flight.
Oh, how are you as a flyer?
I'm not like a nervous flyer. I just hate it. Like it's, yeah. So it's just, I feel like you just have to like forget that you're a person for a while and kind of like go into your little economy seat and take whatever drugs you can legally get on the plane. And
yeah, I honestly, if they had like anesthesia at the, that should be an option at the beginning of a flight where they just put you out completely.
Just general, yeah.
That feels like a very doable thing for airlines.
Just 100%.
Everyone completely blacked out.
Yeah.
And then you wake up at your destination.
Yeah, maybe they still play you like a few movies.
Yeah, sure. Have movies going in case you come out of it.
Just in case, yeah.
What are you doing to entertain yourself on a flight?
I usually watch a movie.
Okay.
Like I'll find like a, I don't know, what's like a good plane movie? Like
I feel like a good plane movie is like a good like middle of the road movie that has kind of an emotional element, because I believe you actually are more emotional in the air for some reason. Like your body is weak.
Yeah.
And so I've cried at movies on planes that are not great movies. But I think you're just in the perfect place to be manipulated on a plane.
Ah, that's so interesting. Yeah,
what did you watch on the way before your tour? Do you remember?
I watched the new Spider-Verse movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you feel emotional during it?
I didn't, but like I'm a bit medicated at the moment, so I'm not feeling like super emotional all the time. Otherwise, I think I'd be crying constantly during this tour. But and I guess on planes. But I really liked it. I thought the art
beautiful.
Was really beautiful,
yeah,
like really really interesting.
Popping out.
Yeah.
How long have you been on tour for this tour?
This run, we're about 3 weeks in,
oh
I guess,
or
just over. This is a short run for us. We'll be home in under a month.
Okay.
As in the whole thing's under a month.
And how many shows total is that?
Oh, good question. Let me quickly count them in my head.
I'm going to try to estimate it, then you reveal.
I don't know, like 17, 20?
17?
Yeah. Maybe.
That's a lot of, that's
I know
a
that
lot.
We've ticked over our 100th show of the year, I think.
Oh my God.
On this run. I can't remember which one it was, but.
Have any cities been highlights for you?
Yeah, I mean, the Seattle shows with Death Cab were pretty awesome.
Okay.
Like them playing this like 20-year anniversary of two of their records. And one postal service record, and it just like them playing like two full arena sized shows.
Oh my
which
god!
Is, like, I don't think I've played like an arena like that big. It's a lot of people in an indoor space.
Yes.
Over the top of like the hockey ice was out, so they just like they cover it with like kind of like foam to keep it icy.
I feel like keeping the ice there is not a bad idea.
Yeah, I guess taking it out is probably a hassle, right?
Yeah, it would be wonderful. Actually, I feel like Frank Ocean tried that at Coachella, and there was a giant problem. I feel like he had, like, ice on the stage and trained, like, ice skaters.
Yeah.
And maybe they couldn't keep the ice cold, or now I'm just making things up because I don't know the rest of the story, but it was a giant disaster.
Oh.
But somebody's got to pull that off at some point.
Having ice on stage sounds great if you don't have to step on any guitar pedals or move if you're not one of the ice skaters.
Stepping on a guitar pedal in an ice skate.
Yeah,
fascinating like experience.
It's a great way to slice it in half.
You guys put on like a show. You have a giant fish on the stage.
Yeah.
Who's responsible for the giant fish?
So Lily Paris West, she did all the design for our album, and when I like sent her like an early version of the album, and I was like, because this is so stupid. I don't really consider, like, I don't have much of, like, a visual, like, I feel like when it comes to artwork and stuff like that, I tend to, like, try and work with people that are really like what they do, because I feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
Good for you for relinquishing control.
Yeah, I love relinquishing control. But Lily's amazing, and she's done lots of records and much more, like, fashion stuff. And so she just, like, sent us, like, a bunch of, like, mock-ups of, like, potential album cover things, and one of them just had this really sad fish. And it just, I don't know, stuff with faces, like I just can't, I find it very hard to not have an album cover with a face on it, because it's so, or like a human element.
Cause, something to connect to.
Yeah, it just looks so, they just look so sad, fish. And so we were getting ready for this tour at the start of the year, and we're like, oh, we should have something on stage, because just to kind of like bring people into the world of whatever you're doing, and a giant inflatable fish seemed like just the thing.
Is it made out of like balloon material? What's happening there?
It's like fabric, but it's like it operates kind of like a bouncy house. Like it's got a fan that keeps going through the whole time, or it will
deflate.
It's not like fully airtight, which I feel like would be, if it depended on being 100% airtight, it would be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. That would explode at some point or something would happen. When was the last time you were in a bouncy house?
Oh, man. Too long. it's been years for sure.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in a bouncy house?
That was an unfair question to ask you because I can't remember. I'm going to assume it's probably been decades. I can't imagine the last, a scenario that I would have been in a bouncy house.
Yeah.
It's probably as a kid, but my mom wouldn't allow us into them because there was some news story where a kid was in one and it flew away.
Oh, that really happened, right? And
yeah,
they died.
Yeah, it really happened.
Like, it's
terrifying.
It's no joke. This is PSA. Strap down your bouncy house.
Yeah, that must be legally required at this point.
Yeah, I think it would make sense. Tie it down.
To watch someone just be carried away in one of those?
Yeah.
The agony of watching your child just fly away in a bouncy house.
And it's like nothing to grab onto. You just fall out of the bouncy house.
Yeah, the inside, there's no grip or anything. So you're just...
Yeah. I think what I remember about bouncy houses, I'm glad that this has come up because...
Well, this was... I wanted to ask it first, but I thought, well, warm up, then I'll get into bouncy houses.
The real shit. I don't remember them being that bouncy. I mainly remember them being slippery and kind of like a fun place to fall down.
You're a bouncy house snob.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't at me.
Did you like a trampoline?
I much prefer a trampoline.
Okay.
Yes. And the old style ones where you're much closer to death.
What are the new ones have like a cage around them?
Yeah, and the springs are like not at the side. The springs are like underneath so that you can't put your leg through
those
them.
Springs.
Yeah.
Were death traps.
Oh, death traps, yeah.
They were like metal, they had hooks on them.
Yeah, I've gone flying off a trampoline and landed on my head and been alive somehow as a child. Like,
yeah, that was another thing that I had to kind of sneak as a kid because my mom was just paranoid about every injury. So it was often like I went to a friend's house and then didn't reveal that I was on the trampoline. And then they started putting them in the ground.
Yeah, like that was better.
It's just an inherently dangerous thing. Just don't buy one.
Just like, I don't know, kids, they got to jump. They got to jump. And if you don't give them the opportunity to jump at home, they'll go out. They'll find a place to jump.
Better to see them jumping at home.
Wouldn't you rather they do it in the house?
That and drugs. Just have them doing it at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that we're talking about jumping, I really feel like bouncing. I feel like there's probably more bouncing I want to do than I actually get to do.
Oh, yeah. That's why there's all these adult jumping houses. There's probably a better name for them than jump houses. Adult trampoline emporiums.
Oh, like the warehouses with the trampolines in
them.
Yeah.
And
have
I
you
guess
been to one of those?
I haven't. There's one in Auckland called... I can't remember. I'm going to call it Jump House, but it's...
Well, you should start one. It's your jump house.
I'm sure they make it safer, but they look like they're serious trampolines, like with good bounce. They can really get you to the ceiling. Yeah.
I feel like New Zealand loves to jump and bounce because isn't bungee jumping, it's like a national pastime.
I guess it kind of is. Like it's, I don't want to say it was invented there because I think it was probably just co-opted from some kind of an indigenous culture. But it's, I guess AJ Hackett is like the New Zealand guy who like jumps off stuff.
Oh,
and
just anything?
Popularized it. Yeah. He like, he's like bungee jumping the business now and like owns all the jumping off points.
And I know you bungee jump in a video.
Yeah.
Had you been bungee jumping prior to that?
I had bungee jumped when I was like 13 or something because I guess it's New Zealand. And
right.
It was like, we're going on a family holiday to Lake Taupo. Should we bungee jump?
Wow.
And it was, I went by myself and then my older sister and younger sister went like tandem, like, you know, like a koala on the back kind of vibes. And it's this is so great. It's like, it was one of those ones where you're going over water.
Right.
So you bounce and they like weigh you to figure out how tense to make the string to make it so you can touch the water, but not die. And so I did that and then like went in they kind of like lower you down into this boat. Someone's at the bottom and you grab, they hold up a kind of a stick and you kind of like grab the stick so they can guide you into the boat. And my older sister and younger sister, two people, I guess, just had a bit more weight than they, I guess, anticipated. And so they're still bouncing and the person is down in the boat, like holding up the stick and they grab the stick and they just pull them out of the boat.
Oh,
and it's like freezing, like middle of winter, like, you know, New Zealand, beautiful scenic river. But he had to get like kind of saved and then he had to go home because he was very cold.
This feels like your parents were just trying to get rid of you.
Yeah, maybe. They didn't jump suspiciously.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so you've only been maybe twice then?
Yeah. And like as a kid, I was like really scared. But like afterwards, I think I was like, oh yeah, this was thrilling. And then we made a music video and we had like a different plan for a music video. But then the director got COVID, of course, the day before the shoot. And so we just were like, okay, we have this shoot day. We're leaving on tour in a week. We need to make a music video for the song. And we called our friends Callum and Annabelle from Sports Team, who just makes a lot of videos for us and are just like all about these crazy, beautiful ideas. And I was like, here are some suggestions. And one of them was just the best go bungee jumping. There was no other concept beyond that. And they were like, okay, let's do it. And we booked it in and we jumped like the next day and they came up with this whole storyline. And
oh my God, that's incredible.
Yeah. But it was all hypothetical at first and until you're actually like walking out and mm-hmm. looking over the edge and your brain is like, I know that I chose this and that this is safe, safe in quotation marks. And then your body is just like, absolutely not. I don't believe that for a second. I am going to die. And here we go. We're going to die.
And then do they push you? You're responsible for making the final move.
Yeah, they never push you.
I don't think that like, and I think I've probably talked about it on this podcast before as far as skydiving. I feel like there's some primal thing in me that would overtake and refuse.
That's the thing. I think that's hard to overcome.
Right.
You have to honestly like jump off or fall. Like there's no other way around it. Otherwise you just won't do it.
Yeah. I feel like I would get to the point of like my convincing my body, but not enough where it would just become dangerous. And then I would injure myself.
Yeah.
Like I feel like with skydiving, I would like attack the person that's responsible for me. Yeah. And then we'd like get caught in the propellers or something. And then in the bungee jumping, I would like half jump and then I would like slam against the side.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm capable.
Well, that's kind of what me and Tristan did. Because they tell you, like, if you fall nice and strong and you fall, like, straight down with your head facing down, you'll, like, bounce, you know, with the rope and be fine. But if you kind of, like, let your body fall off like me and Tristan did, you're going down, like, horizontal. And then at the bottom, when the rope kind of, like, reaches its tensile end, you kind of, like, snap down. And I, like, I think it's not talked enough about. I was Googling for days. I was like, what's wrong with me? I think you get a little bit of whiplash from bungee jumping.
That is mortifying to me. Yeah, there needs to be more stories out there that things can happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sore.
Are there any, like, what are the really bad things that have happened during bungee jumping? Do ropes snap? Do these sort of things happen?
I looked it up beforehand.
Right.
Of course I did. I was like, you know, like, is bungee jumping safe? Like, what are the dangers of it? And yeah, it does, the dangerous stuff happens when people are like, it's not when it's like businesses jumping off of a 40-meter bridge. It's like people doing, I don't know what to call it, like guerrilla bungee jumping, like the OG where you're just like, you tie the rope at the top and you jump.
Right, like amateurs just showing up at a bridge or something.
Yeah.
And that feels like, of course, you're going to die.
It feels that way, but I guess they didn't think that.
Yeah, I need a company that at least my family can sue afterwards, if
absolutely.
Not me. I'm not letting a friend tie me up for bungee jumping.
No.
It's that I should look into the horror stories. And recently I've looked into LASIK eye surgery. Because everyone raves and goes crazy about it. You have to do it. I don't think I'm going to do it. Do you wear contacts or anything?
I don't, but I have watched a LASIK surgery because my partner had it.
You watched it live?
Yeah, there's like a viewing room and they have like a big TV that is like the thing's looking at, and I just like watch. I filmed it because I was like, you have to watch your eye being like destroyed.
Good grief. How was the experience for you?
It was kind of fun. Like, I'm not too squeamish about eye stuff. Some people really don't like it, I know.
Right.
But there's like two kinds of LASIK, one where you like kind of peel back the top layer of the eye and blast it with the laser, and the other one where, which Jonathan had to get because his brow ridge was a little bit too pronounced, so they couldn't get the machine down. So they had to like instead like just grind down that top layer. And so it takes a little bit longer to heal. Normally it takes like it heals in a day and you're kind of pretty good. So his one took a slightly longer, but it's like the one that pilots get and stuff because it's like a bit safer as well.
Oh, so there is a safer option.
Well, I guess it's just like less risk or something.
Okay, well, it's safer.
Yes, that is exactly the same meaning. Are you thinking about getting it?
Well, no, because I mean, now I'm finding like no one told me there was a mildly less risky option. So people were telling me it's great and just sending me in with no other tips.
Oh, I think I don't know. It feels like it's worth it, right? Like, I don't know. How bad is your eyesight?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
But wearing contacts isn't that, I mean, starting around 11 o'clock every night, my eyes are completely dry, and that's a pain. But other than that, it's better than having my eyes poked out by lasers.
I don't know. It's pretty fun. But I don't know. I've hashtag blessed. I've got good vision thus far.
And so lucky. Like,
and there's things that, you know, I take for granted talking to my glassed friends.
People with good vision. I mean, like, I've had bad vision since like eighth grade. It just went out on me immediately.
Like, do you go out into the ocean? Do you like swimming at the beach?
This is something I'm kind of debating with myself currently. Do I like the beach? Do I like the ocean? It's up in the air for me. I need to go a couple more times. I think I like the ocean. I like the beach. I don't like the drive back. And that is excruciating.
What about it?
You're like, salt water is drying you out. You've got sand all over your body. You're tired. The sun has been beating down on you all day. I am clearly not prepared for sun in any form. You've swallowed some amount of salt water. So that part of it's not ideal. But kind of getting pushed about by the waves, that's very fun.
That's nice. Yeah.
Do you like doing it?
The beach. Yeah, I didn't growing up. Like, I guess in New Zealand, like, everything is water. Like, everything's surrounded by water.
Right.
Auckland is an isthmus. It's, like, more water than land.
And brag, so brag, brag.
It's like, yeah, brag, brag, brag. Hey, this is LA. This is a beach right there. It's just a mere hour drive. But yeah, I didn't like, when you grow up with it and you're like, and I was like, I didn't like the beach. I didn't get it. And I don't think I got it until I was about 24 and I had my first like big breakup. And I started just like going to the beach every day and like swimming at night and just like, there was something about it that was just like, I don't know. It flipped a switch for me somehow. And suddenly I was like, I like the beach.
Well, it's a great place for dramatic moments of your life, I would say.
I think so. Yeah. It's just, it's so vast and like, I don't know, just like completely engulfing yourself in this like big giant thing where you feel really helpless. Maybe that's just the ticket.
It's just kind of this wet void you can kind of just release things to.
The wet void is great.
The wet void. That's the title for something. I don't know what exactly. Maybe my problem is I need to go to the beach at night.
Maybe.
I could be a nocturnal beacher.
Yeah, I think that is the beach, if it's like a nice calm beach, I guess. I don't want to be the reason that you disappear. But
so we need someone to blame when I finally disappear.
Yeah.
Think of the publicity for you.
Oh yeah, that's
through the roof.
Yeah, let me suggest this beach with really big waves.
And you don't need any safety. Don't go alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm into this. I wouldn't mind like a bonfire by the beach, and then it would probably be cold. The Pacific's very cold.
We have the Pacific too, but it's right on the other side.
Right. And it's probably cold over there as well, I assume.
It's pretty chilly. Yeah, I've swum in the Mediterranean and I was very confused. I was like, it's so warm. I don't know. It's suspicious.
Yeah. Something that's the sort of thing where it's just like, what's the source of warmth in any water?
Yeah.
Unless it's really hot, you're like, something gross might be making this warm.
Yeah, it does feel like a little bit gross.
Yes, exactly. Where were you swimming in the Mediterranean?
It was in Spain.
Oh, and lovely.
Like on the East Coast, which is where we've spent a little bit of time sometimes when we've been on tours, like even just like super budget ones, because flying home to New Zealand, like I say, we have like 6 weeks or a month between tours in the Northern Hemisphere, is very expensive.
Oh my God.
And we've managed to find a spot in Spain where we can find like a little place to stay that's like, I don't know, €250 for like the whole time.
Reveal that to me off podcast. I'm going to go there. That sounds wonderful.
It's pretty great. And I get to practice my Spanish, which I learned at high school and then never used because you don't really use it in New Zealand.
I learned French. Learned, you know, I can say my name. I mean, tell you what my name is and maybe ask what for the menu.
Oh,
and I can say the beach. These are all things I absolutely have no use for. You took Spanish.
Yeah.
Absolutely nowhere near Spain.
Yeah.
Nowhere near Spanish-speaking countries.
No, in South America either. Oh, I'm closest to South America. Not close. Across the Pacific again. But yeah, I don't know why. I liked the language, I guess.
It's a good language. They're all pretty good, I suppose. Yeah. Is there a best language? I don't know that there is.
I don't know.
Everybody's got their feelings.
Yeah.
Whatever one you speak.
I'm relearning Bahasa Indonesian because that's where my mum's from and that's where I was born. So I'm like half Indonesian, but like grew up in New Zealand, so very like New Zealandized, I guess. Like,
right, right.
But we're going on like a family trip soon for the first time in a long, long time. And so I was like, well, I want to carry my weight.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
I'm kind of like getting Bahasa lessons. That's a fun language to learn, an interesting language that's like kind of simple, but because it's simple, it's probably just got all these layers that you kind of like of context that you can't see.
Right,
but it's a language with like no tenses. So Everything is just like, there's no past tense, future tense, whatever. Everything's just pretty simple. There's like, you barely conjugate anything. Everything's like very, I don't know, straight ahead. You kind of learn the words.
Basic elements of language.
Yeah. But because of that, I think, yeah, there's all these, it's maybe easy to learn to a simple level, but then like much more difficult to kind of
right.
learn.
Can you say a sentence like, my name is Liz? Let's hear it. So, we're practicing.
Oh, no. Saya nama Lizzie.
Perfect.
Like, I don't even know how to say that right. But I think the thing is, in casual Indonesian, it's so, I love how context-based it is. Like, you don't have to say, like, my name is Lizzie. You just be like, name Lizzie. Like, or like you wouldn't even say that. You'd just be like, Lizzie.
Oh, interesting. You know, wow, like, good for them.
Yeah, we say a lot in English.
What cities are you going to visit while you're there?
I'm going to visit Manado, which is where my mum's family's from and where my mum's mum is buried. So she wants us to go there. And then... some in Bali as well, where we have some family too.
Wonderful. I've been to Malaysia, which I feel like is as close as I'll probably, because of that flight, ever get to Indonesia.
Ah, that must have been cool though. How was that?
I was on a Mormon mission. I'm ex-Mormon.
Wow.
And so it was a beautiful place and wonderful food and lovely people, mm-hmm. but a not good experience.
Yeah, did
a
you?
Pretty negative experience overall. But I would recommend it as a vacation.
All right.
The food's unbelievable.
Did it work?
What do you mean, what did it work?
I assume missions are about converting?
About converting other people?
Other people, yeah.
Somebody asked me that recently, and I don't know that I hope I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for the full time. I had a meltdown and went back home because what I've just said. Yeah. But I hope in that time I didn't convert anybody.
Okay.
But who knows? It's in my distant past. We're just moving forward. And
for
I
sure.
apologize to anybody's life who I've thrown off course. Hopefully that reach out to the podcast. I hope they're listening. Well, I mean, speaking of throwing people's lives off course, I was very excited to have you today on the podcast. I was thrilled. I love your band. I saw you Thursday night. It was so wonderful. Felt kind of creepy seeing you live, knowing I was going to talk to you today. I was like spying, essentially. But I was a little surprised when you pulled up today holding a bag. The podcast is clearly called I Said No Gifts, and you've brought what's obviously a gift for me.
Yeah. You know, I just... Don't tell me what to do, you know?
You're too far into the tour to be listening to directions at this point.
Nope.
You're exhausted. Okay, that's fair enough. Well, should I open it here on the podcast?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It's in this lovely little bag. This says Istanbul on it. Did you get this in Istanbul?
Nope. I got it at an op shop in like Birmingham or something.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, it's gorgeous. I assume you're taking this after the podcast, so I'm going to be very careful.
We'll negotiate. And
we'll get in a fight. That's what we'll do. I'm going to unzip here. Hopefully we got a little of that on the mic. I'm reaching in, pulling out. Oh, this is lovely. This is a little, what I assume, a bracelet. Or if your neck is small enough, a choker.
Yeah.
This is, it's got like a little alien charm and like a little pineapple charm and some letters. But what do the letters, do they spell something?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to decide what's better for the podcast.
NGFS. Well, no. No. Oh, no. Wait, does this say no gifts? Oh, it does.
This
incredible.
It says no gifts.
That's amazing. Did you make this?
Yeah. I Googled small bracelet, alien charm, no gifts, and nothing came up, so I had to go ahead and
well,
do
you know,
it myself.
That was a huge fad in the early 2000s, so all those businesses are gone. The bubble burst, and now you've got to make them yourself.
Yeah.
Are you a crafty person?
A little, yeah.
What sort of crafts are you getting into?
I do a bit of sewing and like, I guess I've been making small bracelets. That's just a recent thing because people have been making them for us and I've been like, ah, I think you're meant to trade them.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah. And so it's been nice, very soothing, and you can really see your progress.
Right.
My friend got me into beading and making bracelets. But yeah, I'm super casual, but yeah.
And where are you getting all the little beads and charms?
Oh, just from, I don't know, the internet. They're not, it's all plastic. It's terrible. It's, yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, if we're going to have an island made of plastic, it would be nice if it looked like this.
Yeah.
It'd be very cute.
I agree.
I mean, if we're going to destroy the planet, we might as well have it be adorable.
And, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're making, other people are making these for you as well?
Yeah, like people are, I guess, I don't know if this started with Taylor Swift, but I mean, like,
oh,
it's like,
that's right.
People have been, yeah, coming to shows and they kind of like throw the bracelet on stage that they've made or something. And I was, yeah, and I think I was kind of self-conscious. So I was like, oh, we should have some, like,
right.
So I've been kind of making them and then.
And are you throwing them back into the audience?
Yeah, like.
Fight after them?
It's like, no, like, occasionally, but mostly it's, I feel like it's like a trade.
Right. I mean, I guess this is a pretty nice thing. No one's like getting into fist fights over this sort of thing.
No, yeah. I mean, not that I've seen, but maybe.
Probably at Taylor Swift shows. I feel like there's the tension is probably a little high. Everyone's energy is very high there.
Yeah, I can imagine she's not allowed to throw anything into the audience.
No, that's just true. Like,
I think there would be deaths.
There would be blood everywhere. Yeah. How many of these have you collected from fans at this point?
A few, like maybe 10.
Oh,
I don't know.
Very nice.
But like I'm wearing a few now. This one says BLJT, which is the initials of four of the band members.
Oh, right, right.
Ben Liz, John Tristan. And this one says Death Cab for Cutie, because it was at the Death Cab for Cutie show.
Oh, very nice. And then the other bracelet you're wearing is just something you purchased.
Nope, this was also, someone gave it to us, but it doesn't say anything on it.
Okay. Where did the third one come from?
I'm trying to remember the shows, and I can't.
This band is bawling right now.
Sorry.
You've destroyed a fan's day.
I'm wearing it right every day. Yeah. It's. Do you do any crafting?
I'm very bad at crafts. My mom and my sister are excellent. They both like quilts. They sew. They do. I mean, I think within Mormonism, that's a big pastime. And like, I feel like Mormons are just naturally crafty people. But my sister makes beautiful quilts. My mom watercolors and quilts and will sew things. And the one craft I ever tried, well, I was forced to make was in middle school. They wanted me to make a wind sock. Do you know what that is? One of those,
I think so.
Like fabric tubes that hangs in the wind.
Yeah, so you can tell which way the wind is blowing by which direction the sock is pointing.
Right, I assume. That must be the practical purpose.
Yeah.
But I was so bad at it. It was one of those things where like I was so bad that the teacher genuinely felt bad for me. I was like, oh, he's just not capable. This is not in his skill set. This he can't learn. So I think there was a lot of just doing it for me. And that may have been the end of my craft career. Oh, no, I did ceramics in high school as well.
Oh, cool.
And those were hideous. All of mine ended up very ugly.
I feel like ugly pots are all the rage.
That's true. I feel like that is kind of the trend right now. Make kind of an unshapely.
Well, it's just pot. Like something that's very clearly homemade. You know,
right.
It's like that's like almost like a status symbol. It's like this bowl wasn't made by a machine. It was made by terrible human hands.
Someone who was paid fairly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And they really phoned it in. I'm just kidding, but pay people fairly. But I feel like I got a little bit more because I did a bit of sewing in high school, but hadn't done it since. But I bought a sewing machine during the pandemic. I was a bit self-conscious because all the other members of my band, I've just like got all these skills. Like Ben does like hand woodworking stuff, and he's super into making things with wood, and he's built up this little workshop over the years. And Tristan like works on he's got this little Peugeot car that he works on, and like
wow.
And then Jonathan is really good at like. I don't know, like fixing microphones, like electronics stuff and things like that.
Okay.
And I was just like, okay, well, when the apocalypse comes, I'm going to need to like, I need to earn my...
What can you provide?
...my place. And I'm like, I could be a bard, I guess. But I should have another skill. So I was like, okay, I'll do some sewing.
Yeah, after the apocalypse, you still need to be at least a double threat, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, put that on my apocalypse CV.
So have you gotten better at sewing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What sort of stuff are you sewing?
I've like made a couple of shirts. I've made three shirts, and then it was all the same shirt, but just like I got slightly better each time.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
you should make band uniforms.
Yeah.
Now the pressure's on. So
yeah.
Like, you have no choice.
Oh, I'm trying to not mix do the thing of turning my hobby into my job, which I've already done.
Right, nightmare. That's a true nightmare for anyone in entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's more useful for being able to like alter stuff, and like it kind of opens up op shopping. Sorry, you guys call it thrifting.
Yes,
thrifting.
Yes, opens up or I guess thrifting is the verb for
it. Like, you know, if it's nearly good, but you know, you can change it a little bit to make it fit better.
Right. Oh, that's a dream.
It's a better option. You can like shorten things, or I don't know.
Right, because I'll take I'll buy something at the thrift shop and take it to the tailor, and then it like quadruples in price because tailors are not cheap.
No, but
so if I could bring that skill set into my own life, buy a sewing machine. I love pushing the pedal.
Yeah.
I love the thrill of your fingers right next to that dangerous needle.
Oh yeah, it's a real thrill.
Dangerous.
Every year, like, you know, at the school, it was like, oh, you know, there's always one person who gets their nail, you know, obliterated by the sewing needle. And one year it was my younger sister.
Oh, it was.
So she still got little shards of metal in her finger. It just went in, broke, and then went out, and then went back in. Because, you know, it goes quick. Sorry.
You're bringing a lot of horrible images to the podcast today. The eye being grinded into your sister's finger.
I'm sorry. I didn't see this as a pattern, but it clearly is.
Does she have full use of her finger?
Yep. She's all good. Okay. Yep. Shout out to my younger sister.
Wow. Does she have a full nail there?
Yeah. I think the whole thing obviously it came off, but it regrew from scratch. She's a kid. I guess kids are pretty malleable.
That feels like, what's that movie series called? Final Destination. Where everybody dies a crazy way. Okay. They should bring a sewing machine into that.
Right? I feel like you'd have to be doing something pretty unsafe for it to fully kill you. It's one of those like pulled into the sewing machine.
Get sucked into the sewing machine. Yeah, maybe you're operating like the world's largest sewing machine. Yeah. And like kind of as a stunt, and it sucks you into the giant, which is clearly at this point like a stake jamming into the ground. Yeah. Whole audience watches you get pounded to death.
Yeah, they make those. They make them for like jeans. It's hard to sew through jeans. So you need a really big, tall, stories tall.
It's like one of those, things that get oil? Are those called derricks? I want to say they're called derricks. And if I'm right, I'm going to be so impressed with myself. Annalise, is the thing that gets oil called a derrick? Annalise doesn't look hopeful. I feel like Derek is involved in oil somehow. Maybe I just know someone named Derek that was in the oil industry.
Is it those things that look like, that kind of go, this is the audio medium.
It says the derrick is a support structure that holds the drilling apparatus. So I think it's kind of like...
Oh, good for you, Derek. Whole,
yeah, right?
I think it's kind of like the bird that gets the water, right?
Yeah, okay, that's what I was trying to...
What are those called?
I don't know, but...
Is that a perpetual motion machine? Or an example of one?
That's
I'm bringing up a lot of knowledge that I'm, or a lot of words that I do not know
there's
the definition
to. A lot of questions that we can't answer on this podcast.
This is why I brought you here. Yeah. Okay, so I've got this little thing and it's got an alien on it. What's your feeling on aliens?
I don't have a lot of feelings for aliens, I guess.
Have you been following any of the, I feel like at the beginning of this year, I said something's going to happen in space this year. And then something's kind of happened in space, or at least like there were like hearings on aliens, and then there was this guy in Mexico who said he found an alien body, and then everyone was like, no, you didn't, that's clearly not. So maybe we're still waiting for the big space thing to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm a casual, so I'll wait until it's front page news, and then I'll be like, click on that article and be like, oh, aliens. Oh, look at that.
I never want us to find aliens because I think it'll probably be an hour until they're boring.
That's the thing. Like, right? I feel like that's why when you were like, oh, we've aliens, and I was casting my mind back. I was like, oh, yeah, did we find extraterrestrial life? I feel like there was something to do with like Venus. We found like potential for water on Venus or something like that. And then I immediately forgot. So it's like, it clearly is less important to me than like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like if they were discovered, it would probably be like, realistically, 36 hours of people tweeting about it, and then we would move on.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then the mystery's dead. We've learned nothing.
Yeah.
And there's this another kind of animal on the planet. I don't know. I mean, sure, if aliens are listening, stop by.
Yeah, what is up?
I don't want to send you back home thinking that we're going to be disappointed, but... I do, you know, anytime a new species or something's discovered, I look at one picture of it, then I'm moving on. Maybe it's just the way I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I was in fourth grade, I would be more excited about these sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have a new friend, I guess. Yeah.
Is there much alien culture in New Zealand? Are there people like saying we saw aliens?
Not really. No. I know it's part of the culture here.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the size of the country and the amount of open space we have for people to just be kind of alone and thinking they saw something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, you do you. Get your alien jollies. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in America that I guess we like don't really have. Like, on the way here, we passed so many giant skeletons in people's front yards.
Oh, the 12-foot ones.
Yeah.
I just met one yesterday for the first time.
Wow, that was a big person. Before they, I guess, became a skeleton.
Yeah, someone just living their life, doing their thing, and now they're a decoration in someone's yard.
Yeah, I haven't been here, I think, in a while around, like, the lead up to Halloween, and it really surprised me, the amount of swag. Like, I walked into an Enterprise car rental, and there was just, like, all this, like, a fully decorated office. And I was like, this is kind of nice. Like, people get
Were they in costume?
They weren't, unfortunately.
Oh, what a shame. Yeah.
So I did leave them a one-star review.
Yeah, of course. And you
Google.
Called the manager. And now trying to get them out of business.
Yeah.
I'm or like, at least get someone fired.
Put them in a hot dog costume or I will never utilize your business again.
I think I have a ketchup costume in the back of my car from last Halloween when I didn't have a costume and I asked a friend to borrow it. Now it appears to just be mine.
A ketchup costume?
Ketchup. It's like a bag of or a packet of ketchup you kind of just slide over your body
like a sachet.
That's a very nice way to call our trashy little things of ketchup packet, I think is what we would call it.
Packet.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're extremely wasteful. It's about 2 inches long, mm-hmm. and has maybe I don't know, a hundredth of an ounce of ketchup in there. You have to open 50 of them to have enough ketchup.
A single serving, but right. It's good for when you're on the go and you just need to quickly blast some ketchup into your mouth, like a cyclist.
The Tour de France, you're just every 10 miles taking your little ketchup snack. Is ketchup big in New Zealand? Is that part of New Zealand?
Yes, okay. But we call it tomato sauce.
Wow.
Can
so
you
that gets confusing
that?
Here yeah. because then we're thinking about the Italians.
Yeah, no, it's different.
What do you call an Italian red sauce?
I don't
Maybe
really
a
know.
Pomodoro?
Yeah, like pomodoro or I don't know. We've got bolognese that's made
oh,
it over.
Oh, yes,
but,
delicious with a meat.
Yeah, I know it's not probably not a real thing, but it was big growing up.
That's a delicious sauce. Mm. I feel like it's a real thing.
It's just like minced and tomato sauce and like some sprinkles from the cabinet.
Oregano or something.
Yeah.
Basil, garlic. That's a recipe. Olive oil.
Yeah.
So you're calling it tomato sauce, which is a waste of time.
It's tomato sauce.
Ketchup is so quick.
Yeah.
But we have two different spellings of ketchup.
For short, you call it sauce.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow. So if you go to a place and you just say, I want sauce, and they know what you're talking about?
Well, yeah. If you ordered, say, like a cup of hot chips from the local hot chip place, and they were like, do you want sauce? You'd say yes.
Oh, wow.
And then they would just blast it with they had a big bottle of sauce, and they would just blast it all over the top of the chips.
Oh.
So you'd have like a really gooey top of the chips covered in sauce, and the bottom of the chips would be completely dry.
Right.
But that's all part of the experience.
See, that's I would have a huge problem with the soggy part. Mm. Leave it off. Let me control how soggy these get.
In America, it's like you will apply your own dressings to your meals. And in New Zealand, it's like sometimes you do. Sometimes you take what they have poured over the top.
And say thank you.
Yeah.
And if someone said at the place, do you want sauce with that? The amount of things that would go through my mind before I would get to ketchup, it would probably be 15 things before I thought, oh, they're talking about ketchup. I would think about gravy.
So much of it is context, right? Like,
yes.
Like, yeah, I guess it's like if I gave you a plate of meatloaf and was like, do you want sauce?
Oh, now that I would be like, what? Meatloaf sauce? What sort of sauce are you putting on your meatloaf?
I've never really had meatloaf, but like, doesn't meatloaf have tomato sauce in it?
Maybe I'm not familiar with meatloaf enough. Has ketchup be sauce in it?
In New Zealand, loaves are usually bread.
Oh, yeah, of course, bread. I feel like the only thing that should be a loaf is bread. The moment meat becomes a loaf, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
The form that it came in was not good enough.
Right.
It needs to be able to be sliced and buttered.
Do not compress any meat for me. That's, I guess I eat sausage.
Yeah.
No, but it's, the word loaf just doesn't sound right to me when meat is involved. It's disgusting. We're on the same page there, absolutely. Meatloaf, compressed meat, all the things we can talk about. What a life. What a life we're both living. I feel like we should play a game.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to play a game?
I love games.
Okay, I need a number between 1 and 10 from you.
9.
Okay, I have to do some light calculating to get our game pieces.
Okay.
So right now you have the microphone. You can promote something. You can recommend something. You can say whatever you want. I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Wow, it's amazing that you've gotten this far into this podcast that I'm on. My name is Liz and I play in a band called The Beths. And we play kind of like guitar pop music, I guess. Yeah, we put out an album last year called Expert in a Dying Field. And we have been on tour this year a lot and last year pretty constantly. And, yep.
Beautiful. I think that's great. And the listeners should go listen to the band. That's my recommendation for the week. I don't even need to recommend anything else. If you're not familiar with the Beths, what a pleasant surprise for the listener.
Wow.
They're going to be freaking out. Everybody loves the Beths. And if you're not already on board, I mean, I don't want to call you a loser, but that may be one of the words on my list. Okay, this is how we play gift. The game we're playing is called Gift or a Curse. So I'm going to name three things. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell me if they're a gift or a curse and why. And then I'll tell you if you're right or wrong because there are correct answers.
Oh.
You can lose the game.
Okay.
Shameful.
What do you win?
Yeah, moment of pride.
I love moment of pride. Okay.
Okay, so the first one is from a listener named Karen. Karen suggested, gift or a curse, passengers in the window seat who keep the window shade closed the entire trip.
I guess, man, I've never been so ambivalent about anything in my entire life. I really have to choose the entire flight. I guess gift.
Why?
Because if you have no choice about anything else about what this flight is and why you're there or where you're going, there's a chance that it might be that you want to sleep.
Interesting.
And I'd rather have it closed the whole time than blasting you with light the whole time.
You're right. You're okay. Absolutely right.
Oh, that's so close.
For that reason, of course, because, and also for the reason, if I'm in the middle seat, I want to peek, but I'm not peeking. That's uncomfortable to peek over the person. I don't want the temptation there. Mm-hmm. I don't want the sun blasting in on me. Why not just have a quiet moment with the window closed? There's nothing interesting enough for me to see out the window that I need it open.
Exactly, yeah.
Just let me be in a calm, dark, quiet place for a minute.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like most likely you just want to forget where you are.
Yes, just do not remind me I'm on an airplane. Mm. Keep it closed. If I'm at the window seat, I'm kind of doing everything, which is, yeah. I don't know if people appreciate that, because if you're asleep and then the person opens the window, suddenly you're being blasted.
Yeah.
But that is the power you hold.
That's the thing. You have that power. And like, if it was like the middle of the day and everyone was sleeping and someone blasted open the window shade, I might say something, but I still probably wouldn't.
Right. Yeah, I would probably I would just sit in silence.
Yeah.
I was on a plane recently with a man whose elbow was just in my body the entire time and there was nothing I could do about it. And if you say something, then they're mad at you. So you just suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but it is the thing that I most consistently do.
Likewise, absolutely likewise. We're kindred spirits there. Okay, you've gotten one so far. This next one is from someone named Andy, and Andy suggested, gift or a curse, restaurant menus that call sandwiches handhelds.
Oh, curse.
Why?
I've never heard of that in my life. And it feels like sandwiches have quite a good name. And don't tell me how to eat my sandwich. Maybe I want to eat it with a knife and fork or chopsticks. Or just like directly with like taking bites from the plate with my face. I don't know, I have to hold it with my hands.
Have your hands tied behind your back eating it off the plate.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't usually get mad about calling sandwiches other things because I think that that's fine. But in this case, I'm furious.
Of course. I mean, how annoying. It's so cute. It's so irritating. Everyone knows what a sandwich is. Mm-hmm. Why are you calling it a handheld?
There's a thing here, right, where would you include burgers on that menu?
This is the big confusion for everybody.
Yeah, I think.
Put a hamburger under a sandwich. I'm not going to fight with you.
Yeah.
That was the original name.
Okay.
Is that how you feel?
I feel like this is a culturally loaded question.
Mm.
So I don't.
Oh, then let's hear it.
I feel like the word burger means a different thing here. Like it means the meat, does it?
Well, if I order a burger, it's a burger sandwich.
That's true. But like, no one orders a chicken burger here.
Yes, you can, actually, really? Weirdly.
Okay.
But that's rare because it ends up being like ground chicken turned into a patty.
That's what I mean. In New Zealand, it's like, I feel like a burger is like that style of like hot sandwich with a hot meat. So like a chicken burger would just be what you call a chicken sandwich.
And even if it was like a piece of chicken, you would call that a chicken burger?
Yeah, it would just be a chicken burger or like a veggie burger or like a, you know, a lamb burger or something, or a steak burger.
So we do have like turkey burger, we have lamb burger, but it's always ground.
That's the difference. Specific thing. Yeah, and
interesting.
In New Zealand, it's just like if it's between a burger, if it's on a burger bun, then it's a burger.
You've got to get into more detail there. That gets confusing. If I order a lamb sandwich, I'm assuming it's going to be... I would have to order a lamb sandwich, not a lamb burger.
That's the thing. If you go to McDonald's, everything is a burger in New Zealand.
Wow.
It's like the McChicken burger and like the Filet-O-Fish burger. Like burger. It's everything there would be a burger because it's like burger-shaped.
Right.
It's like maybe that's what it is. Like it's like the platonic ideal of a burger looks a certain way. And if it resembles that,
whatever you picture in your mind.
Yeah. It's like round on top-ish, you know? If it's square, not a burger.
Well, now there's a chain of restaurants in America called Wendy's that serve square hamburgers.
Yeah, but the bun is round. And that's the part that makes it a burger.
Then it's hanging off the edge. I don't know what their logic is. I wonder if it's cheaper or...
I hope that they're putting the square cheese directly on top of the square meat.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't think they are. We have Wendy's too.
And, oh, you do have Wendy's.
Yeah, yeah. I know Wendy. Yeah.
Okay, Wendy's is... I haven't been there in a while. I don't mind a Wendy's, to be totally honest with you.
Used to enjoy it?
They have a spicy chicken sandwich there.
There you go.
Pretty good. It's an underrated sandwich.
All right.
What do you order at Wendy's?
A frosty and fries.
Oh, of course. Everybody loves that.
Do you dip? Are you a soft serve or frosty
I will
fry
dip,
dipper?
But not the entire time. I'll eat most of my French fries kind of as the savory thing. Mm. And then towards the end, we're getting into dessert.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm dipping. I'm enjoying. Mm-hmm. Are you the whole time?
I'm the whole time. Like, okay. That's the whole event. Like, that's like the meal. It's like, if I could, like, I would have a plate and I would pour fries on it. And then like spaghetti bolognese, the frosty would go on top. And I would just be eating that with a fork.
Is there, let me ask you this, is there, like, proportionally, is there enough fry to frosty where, like, you finish and they're both gone, or you, like, there's still frosty left over?
I don't know. This is the balance. This is the game that you play with anything, I guess. It's like trying to get the ratio exactly right.
So I'm constantly doing this.
The last bite is the correct ratio.
Right.
Never works.
It takes over every meal where I'm like, well, I want to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. It's like, don't talk to me. I'm working on something here.
Well, ultimately, what we have to do is just agree on handhelds being a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay, this is your final one. You've gotten 2 out of 3 so far, so be very careful here because you could win the game and very few people have won the game.
Oh.
Listener Rachel has suggested when doctors say you're doing great during a procedure.
Gift or curse?
Gift or a curse.
gift.
Why?
Because I love praise. I just want to be told that I'm doing a good job in my life.
Oh, Liz.
Did I lose
as much
the game?
As I'd love to tell you you're doing a great job, you've absolutely flopped here. It's a curse because the moment we're in the middle of this procedure, they're telling me I'm doing great, and now I have to do better. I have to at least maintain the greatness or better. The pressure is on, and I'm probably going to cause an injury or something. Make me think I'm doing a bad job the entire time so I perform my best.
Okay.
This is maybe how I operate my entire life, where I'm just constantly wondering, am I doing a good job?
Aww.
The moment someone says you're doing a good job, now I'm confused.
Do you like, when do you want the feedback? Before
when
or
I'm
after?
Dead.
When you're dead.
Put it on my tombstone.
Just like report card.
Bridgery did a great job.
Yeah.
Until then, I can't have praise, at least directly.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a little, the stakes become way too high.
Okay.
And I don't want to let anybody down because I didn't know I was making anyone happy.
Oh, okay. I'm getting it now.
Who knows? But, you got 2 out of 3, which is not bad.
famously, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Ain't bad. Yeah. It's a good 66%, which you get to take home with you. Okay, this is the final segment of the podcast. It's called I Said No Emails. People are writing in to isaidnogifts@gmail.com. They're in a panic. They're freaking out. They need answers. The only person they can turn to is me.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. And you, of course. So yes, of course. Will you help me answer a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's look at this. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. We're getting into the dark. Okay, here we go. Hi, Bridger, an incredibly attractive guest. That's very nice. What an assumption.
Wow. Thank you.
I started a new job 4 months ago, and the business is doing a Secret Santa gift exchange for Christmas. Are you familiar with Secret Santa?
Mm-hmm.
Names were randomly drawn, and I got my manager. We have had a good relationship since he is the one that hired me, and I believe he has my best professional interests at heart, but I don't know too much about him personally. I want to gift him something that will cement my place as his favorite person on the sales team. Oh boy. About him. He's gay and married. He has a dog. He wakes up at 4 a.m. to exercise and goes to bed at 7:30 p.m. Okay, we're getting red flags. He loves candy and desserts. He's into fancy skincare treatments. The budget is $25. Thank you so much. And that's from Bay.
$25? Oh, man, that's hard.
Do you think that's too little?
I don't know. I guess it's probably good. It's good to have limitations.
What would you say is a good Secret Santa number?
I don't know. I guess it's like for a work thing where it's for someone you potentially don't know. I don't know. Yeah, $40 maybe?
$40.
Oh, $25 is worth more here. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah. What's the exchange currently?
That is about $40.
Okay. Oh, so it is about $40.
There you go. It's perfect. Yeah, it's a perfect amount. Withdrawn.
Unique number.
Yeah.
Okay, so $40 New Zealand.
Yeah. Okay. Man, that's really hard. I don't know if managers should be in the Secret Santa gift exchange.
Right? Because this person's playing a game with their employees that I am not comfortable with.
Yeah.
There's a power dynamic at play.
And the expectation with Secret Santa is that you reveal yourself, right?
Yeah, you're revealing a little bit about yourself and what you think of the person.
Yeah, because could you just like remain a secret?
Oh, interesting.
Oh, but I guess this person wants to make a good impression, so they want to.
Right.
They want them to know who sent the gift.
Although, with Secret Santa, you watch the person open the gift, you watch their face very carefully. Mm-hmm. If they seem disappointed, you just never reveal yourself. Let that remain a mystery forever, kind of like the Zodiac or something. Decades mm-hmm. later, they're still looking into it. No one ever knows. But if they're happy, even if they weren't your person, you claim it.
Ah, oh, that's a great idea.
And then the other employee that says, no, it was me, you call them a liar.
Mm.
And now there's, no one knows what's going on.
Maybe you get them two presents if you've got two ideas. And then they open both and you just, whichever one they like more, you're like, oh, well, that's the one I got you. I don't know who got you that shitty one. That's so bad, that other present.
Or you have the good one like as a backup in your office. And if they seem disappointed, you say, oh, that one was a joke.
Yeah,
now I've got the good one.
Joke present. I don't know. But getting presents is so hard. Even when you've like listed all these interests that this person has and that they have like kids and they like to sleep at crazy hours. Like it's, man. And a dog you'd think like, I think would be like easy to go for the dog. It's like, if they clearly like the dog.
Right.
Then, you know, you get a little treat for the dog. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Little hat.
The dog is such an easy target.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves a little, a sweater for the dog, or you have somebody paint a picture of it on Etsy.
Yeah, yeah.
You covertly go to their house and take photos of it, and then they're terrified of you.
Everybody wants a t-shirt with their dog on it.
Oh, that's like, not a bad idea.
Custom print.
Right. And then fancy skincare treatments, not a possibility with $25.
No.
Those are all $50 or more.
Yeah.
Candy and desserts. That's kind of a downer. It's like, who cares?
Yeah. You could maybe do something with the skin, because there are things that like should be $2 that you could probably get a $25 version
of. Interesting.
You know, like, I don't know, like how much is like a face mask or something, or like
a
very nice lip balm.
Oh, a lip balm. There we go. That feels like if you're paying $25 for a lip balm, it's got everything you need.
Yeah.
It's got supplements. It's plumping your lip, this kind of thing. It's got an SPF of 60. Although giving somebody a lip treat, your boss a lip care thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's,
I've been thinking
bordering
about your mouth.
Right. That's what you write in the card. I can't stop thinking about your mouth. And then your the job will just be nothing but roses from then on.
Yeah.
Perfect workplace dynamic.
Yeah. This is really hard. This is all the questions that come in about gifts.
Most of them. Although I'm encouraging recently just asking anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not? If you're so desperate, you should ask whatever you want. Get in here and ask.
Yeah.
But then we give such perfect answers that I think people are tempted. Oh, I need this gift advice. Like, I should give lip care to my boss.
Yeah, that, there's no way that could go wrong. That's perfect.
You should be rubbing their shoulders while they open the gift. That's probably the one thing you should be doing, just to make sure they're comfortable.
Yeah, heavy breathing. Yeah.
Well, we answered it perfectly.
Okay, good.
And no one can complain. The manager's going to be thrilled.
Yeah. I'm doing great?
You did an excellent job, I would say.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. And now I've got this little gift, which is so sweet. And I'll wear it and think of you and the band, which is so incredible. And you guys are going to vanish for a while. I assume you're going to go probably make new music.
Yeah, we have to just like, you just have to keep doing that, don't you? It's like you make something good and you're like, is this enough? Do I still have to continue to work for the rest of my life? Damn
right.
It.
You should have to do one project and then you get to, that's how everything should be. It's like, I think like working out, you should go to work out for 12 hours one day and then you should be done with it.
Oh, it's so annoying that you have to keep doing it forever.
It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. When you guys start a new album, is it right after you finish the last or do you give yourself a break?
I have, let's call it giving myself a break. I have not really managed to write a song in like over a year. So we'll see.
The pressure and it builds and builds and builds.
It builds and builds. I just need to let myself write a real bad song.
You won't write a bad one.
Well, it's okay to write a bad one. I have to be allowed to write a bad one so that I can break the seal.
And then it can become like a novelty or a B-side or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me pitch you an idea that I think if I were in a band, I would do.
Okay.
Every time I released a new album, I would include a song from the last album kind of in the production style of the new album.
Ah.
As like a bridge to the new album.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out for every band. Or maybe that's on like the B-side to the single.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm constantly thinking of ways bands can do things, even though I don't play music.
You're really an ideas person.
I'm an ideas person first.
Yeah.
Everything else is like a distant 10,000.
Okay.
All my other skills fall far away from my ideas. But I'm throwing that out for you. You could innovate. That's all I'm saying.
It's a great thought, actually.
Well, thank you for being here. You've got one final show tonight. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in Los Angeles.
Thank you.
And I'll put this on and go about my life. Listener, the podcast is over. As you've just heard from my conversation with Liz, you can move on. You can not move on and, you know, blame me. You can do whatever you want. Sometimes I have a lot of control. Sometimes I have very little. Today I'm giving you control. I love you. Goodbye. I Said No Gifts is an Exactly Right production. It's produced by our dear friend Annalise Nelson, and it's beautifully mixed by Ben Tolliday. And we couldn't do it without our guest booker, Patrick Kottner. The theme song, of course, could only come from miracle worker Amy Mann. You must follow the show on Instagram at I Said No Gifts. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where you get to see pictures of all these gorgeous gifts I'm getting. And don't you want to see pictures of the gifts?
When I invited you here, thought I made myself perfectly clear. When you're a guest in my home, you gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Follow I Said No Gifts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I really don't care. Just don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, rate and review the show. It's the least you can do. It really is. It's the bare minimum. Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase I Said No Gifts merch. What a wonderful way to support the show. Support the show!